You know, it occurred to me with all the different episodes that I do of this show, I've never covered a sport. And I feel like that's because I know about most sports. But then I see a pickleball court coming up and it's like, what is this? And then all of a sudden I got a friend that's talking about pickleball. Today, we're going to learn more about pickleball. All right, thanks for listening and subscribing to Learning More. It's Russ with you. Hey, you know what? I have got to say, the Podbean folks have been treating me well lately. I know I've talked about this a couple times lately, but it's been awesome. I'm getting like people like communicating with me, like chatting. Like usually this is like a one-way conversation when I'm talking to, you know, people listening to the podcast, but no, not over at Podbean. So if you don't have the Podbean app, I haven't actually plugged this. Go get it because it's so cool. You could actually comment back to me and like, you know, say great job or awful job, whichever. It doesn't filter. So you can say whatever you want. It's just pretty cool. Also, what I've done over at Podbean, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm trying, like they have a patron program thing where, you know, you can donate to support the podcast. I've set that up. I did that last week. I set a goal of $250 for the month. We'll see if we actually get there. I don't want to turn this into a telethon, although I do love those old Jerry Lewis telethons back in the day. But anyway, it's set up. We'll see if this ever happens. Maybe you could be my first dollar. How about this? For my first dollar, whoever does that, I'll bring you on the show. That would be kind of cool. I mean, I should do that. I don't know. We'll figure out something for that. But anyway, just wanted to let you know that I've got that set up over at Podbean, and it's just something new to announce. Okay, so pickleball. I go to this park here to take my son to go play soccer, and the whole park was completely remodeled. Like they're doing all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, they're putting in tennis courts, and somebody goes, no. It's pickleball courts. What the heck is pickleball? And, you know, so that was like my first, you know, seed planted for this. And then my son, he's at school and he's playing pickleball at PE. I'm like, okay, what is this? And then I host this other podcast called DIY for Business. I know I've mentioned that before on this podcast. And if you haven't checked it out, please do. But my co-host over there all of a sudden starts talking about pickleball. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what this thing is, but I guess it's taken the nation by storm. I guess that's safe to say. Anyway, I have my co-host from DIY for Business as one of my guests. I have two guests today. I've never done that. This is groundbreaking. But I've got Greg. And Greg, it was weird. First of all, thank you for joining me over here. It's weird to even say that because it's like we're always podcasting together anyway.
Yeah, you are my podcast partner. And first of all, thank you for having us on Learning More. I'm looking forward to this conversation. I've never been on this side of the mic, as they say. Having you interview me about pickleball. Yeah, this is going to be fun.
It will be. Now, the weird thing is, yeah, those that listen to DIY for Business, Greg always dances when the theme song's going on. I don't know if you were dancing during this theme song, because I'm actually like reading stuff and looking around, so I couldn't really see if you were dancing, but you still seem fired up, so I guess that's okay.
Oh, I had my groove on. It was okay, it was grooving. Good. My body was grooving, yeah. It's my brain going. Everything starts happening once I hear the music.
Okay, so you, like the world, apparently, have gone all in on pickleball. It seems like this is everywhere. Like I've been looking up some pickleball stuff and whatnot, but my Instagram feed the other day, I opened it up and I've got like 10 posts about pickleball. What the heck is going on? Like that whole thing is happening. And now you've got a podcast that you've pulled me into here.
Yes,
I'll be producing
I have.
The podcast. So like, I need to learn something about pickleball. So you've now got a podcast that you host. You have a co-host as well. So, and she's going to join us also. So Bridgie is joining us. We've got, this is crazy. three people on my podcast. This is exciting. Talking about pickleball. So what the heck is pickleball and how do we do that? And by the way, welcome Bridgie to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Like my uncle's super excited to be here talking about the game that we love.
And see, there you go. There's a relationship there. Greg, tell us about all this. What is happening here?
So Bridgie is my niece, and she lives in Las Vegas. And I went down to Las Vegas to visit my daughter because she's going to college there. And while I was visiting my daughter, Bridgie, my niece says, "Uncle, I've been playing this game called pickleball, and I'm like hooked on it. Do you want to come out and play with me?" And I go, "Sure, you know, I'm always for trying some different things out." So I said, "Let's go out there." She, you know, and Bridgie was nice enough. She had an extra paddle for me, and she brought me out to these courts in Las Vegas. And oh my goodness, like within minutes, I was like, I was hooked. I was like, this is a game that I could really get into. I mean, we were laughing and just having a great time. It was exercise. Oh, it was amazing time.
From my side, you came back and you were just stoked. Like, it's all you could talk about for like, like a week or two. Like, you were totally into it, like right from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, you said a week or two. I'm talking like a month or two. I mean, I just couldn't stop talking about it. And like Bridgie and I mean, Bridgie, how did you get into it? Because we've been like texting each other and sharing Instagram feeds about pickleball. I mean, this has consumed us now.
Yeah, I only started maybe about a half a year before you. Similar to what Russ was saying, I was taking a bike ride at my park and I saw this facility being built. It was under construction for quite some time. And so I had to peek in there and be like, what the heck are they putting in here? You know, I was taking up some grass space and it was pickleball courts. And I was like, I haven't heard of pickleball since that one week in high school that they taught us how to play on tennis courts. And now there's like specific courts just for this game. So that night, dragged my mom, my sister. We went to Walmart, bought this little pickleball paddle set, wooden paddles and indoor balls. Took them out there and watched a YouTube video, and I sent it to them. And I was like, 6 o'clock tonight, watch this video, learn the rules. We're going to go to the courts and play. So after they watched that YouTube video, we went out there and kind of learned the game together. And then that's kind of where it took off. You know, you meet people out there, you see other people getting way more involved than I was. They have these professional looking paddles and shoes and bags. And I was like, this is the real deal, you know? There's a lot going on here. Oh, right. Man.
Yeah, you know, Greg, one of the things that you said about it was it's like it's multi-generational. Like, like that doesn't matter as much in this sport. Is that, like, I mean, that's obviously something that you can, like, well, now I can play against you because I'm not as sporty as you. So.
That's what I think I love the most about pickleball. It's the community that plays the game. I mean, we go out, Bridgie and I will go out. First of all, Bridgie and I have about a quarter of a century difference in our ages, okay? Yet we can still play together, have a great time, be teammates, play against each other. It all works. But when we're out there at the pickleball courts, we'll meet people from, I don't know, teenager age to in their 70s. And I'll tell you the thing that really got us started on doing a pickleball podcast. And by the way, it's called Third Shot. Please check it out, thirdshotpodcast.com. You will enjoy the game of pickleball with us. But what got us into it was Bridgie texted me one night and said, "Hey, they're doing a pickleball reality show out of Vegas. Do you want to audition with me?"
And I knew he couldn't resist.
Oh, I know. I'm like, what? A pickleball reality show? And now you know it's taken the country by storm. There's reality shows about it.
Wow.
So we went down there and we did the audition and we got picked up for the show.
Nice.
And we met so many great personalities on the show, plus the, you know, the people behind the scenes, the producers, the directors, all of those people. We decided, you know what? We do podcasts. Like I've been podcasting with you. Why shouldn't we do a pickleball podcast? Mm-hmm. Because I looked out in the marketplace and there's not a lot of just average people like us doing pickleball podcasts. There are pros, right? There's instructors. There's manufacturers that are doing podcasts, but not just the average people that just love the game like Bridgie and I do. So we said, hey, let's start Third Shot and let's have a good time with it and really just build the community.
So, okay, you've got this whole thing, a pickleball reality show. There's that thing coming up on CBS, right? Like there's a whole thing hosted, like Stephen Colbert is doing something with like Emma Watson playing, like all these celebrities playing pickleball. It's like, is this a new thing? Like when did this come out? Like was this like just like now? Has it been around for a while?
Well, it does seem like it's really got a lot of popularity recently, but
yeah,
officially pickleball was born in 1965. And I was like, really? Okay, yeah, it's been around longer than I've been alive, but
that's crazy.
So supposedly a guy named Joel Pritchard, he was a congressman in Washington State, and one of his good friends, Bill Bell, they were just kind of kicking back in their backyard after, I think, playing golf one day or something like that. And they were just trying to pass time. And they decided to, you know, they had a badminton court set up, badminton net set up. Okay. And they just took a couple of, you know, tennis paddle or tennis rackets, kind of an improvised thing. And they started hitting a ball over the badminton net. And then their family started playing with them a little bit in the backyard. And eventually they started kind of having some fun with it. And they started, okay, let's not use the height of a badminton net. Let's lower it down more like a tennis net. And so they just started messing around with it until they finally kind of came up with their own rules for a game that they landed up calling pickleball eventually.
Okay, well, I was expecting like, oh, they're taking the tops of pickles or something, like the pickle, you know, jars and hitting a pickle back and forth or something is the beginning of this. Like, why pickleball? Why did they get that name?
Yeah, it's such a silly name. And when I try to explain to my friends, like, hey, you want to go play pickleball? They're like, is that really what it's called? And, you know, they have a similar response to it. They're like, why the heck is it called pickleball? What is the pickle involvement? So I've actually heard two different stories. Okay. The first one is because there's a thing called a pickle boat. And on a pickle boat, the crew that is, you know, driving or running the boat is kind of a mashed together crew. And so similar to what Uncle was saying, different kinds of pieces of equipment just kind of mashed together to create something. The sport of pickleball, it's like a pickle boat, mashed together crew. The other story that I've heard, which is a little bit more fun, is that it's named after their dog, because they had a dog named Pickles. I'm a dog person, and so I would definitely name a sport after my babies, but those are the two different stories. Russ, which one do you think is more true? The first one, pickle boat, or the second one about the
dog? I've never heard of a pickle boat. I almost think the dog. I got to go with that one. Doesn't that seem more realistic?
Like, I think so. Just like you guys, when I heard the story about the pickle boat, I was like, I got to research what a pickle boat is. I've never heard that term before.
Yeah, like, what the heck is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a 60s term or what, but I'd never heard of a pickle boat before.
In my digging, because I had to have a black and white answer, I have heard that the dog Pickles was actually brought into the family after. So the dog was named after the sport that they invented, pickleball. So it's sounding like the pickle boat is the more accurate story of the two.
That's crazy. Who knew there would be controversy around the naming of such a silly sport, you know? I actually, at one point, so I had the daily podcast, the This Is Today podcast, where I did like daily history. And there was the whole thing about D.B. Cooper, like jumping out of the plane. So on the day that that happened, I interviewed, and this is just another pickle story, but the Portland Pickles is a baseball team up there, like a minor league baseball team. And I emailed them out. And I'm like, you know, I hear something about DB Cooper. Their mascot is a pickle that also looks like DB Cooper, which is like totally weird. You got to look this up. It's like such the weirdest thing. But I had like the manager of the team on the show, and I talked to him about it and all that stuff. We made all these pickle jokes and whatnot. I had no idea of pickleball even back then, like a year ago. But now I'm thinking maybe, you know, I don't know, D.B. Cooper, that was like the 60s, wasn't it? Maybe there's some relation to that, you know?
Yeah.
Third story.
Who knows? Let's just make this even more conspiracy if we can. All right. So we may not know the exact origins of the name, but how is this played? Like if I'm going to go out today and pick up and I keep calling it because we've been actually producing shows for this, and I've been hearing a little about pickleball as I've been, you know, producing the shows, but I keep calling it a racket. It's a paddle, right?
Yes, it's a paddle. Okay,
so I go out, I go get a paddle, and I go head to the court. It's called a court, right?
You got that one, yes.
Okay, good. All right, so I'm going to go do that today. What do I need to do? Like, what's kind of the start of just going out and doing this? I guess maybe we start with the rules, right?
Well, that we could spend 2 hours talking about the rules, but I'm going to try to condense
it down.
Give me the highlights. Okay, so it's similar to tennis in a sense where it starts with a serve, and what's different about pickleball serving is you have to do it underhand. That's part of the rules. You have to underhand the shot. You can bounce the ball,
Are you using a tennis ball?
No, you're using a pickleball.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
There you go. Otherwise, it'd be called tennis, Russ.
Is it green?
It's a pickleball. But it's basically a wiffle ball. It's a plastic ball with holes. It's basically a wiffle ball.
Okay.
And you serve it to the other team. The other team or singles, you know, the other person has to let the ball bounce in a designated area. And you're kind of doing it cross court, kind of like tennis, right?
Okay.
And then they return it. Now, the other thing that's a little different than tennis is when the return comes back to the team that originally served it, they have to let the ball bounce once. So if you think about it, in tennis, a lot of players would serve the ball, then run to the net, and then volley it and put it away. Well, that's what they're trying to prevent in pickleball. They want to force you to let the ball bounce before.
Gotcha. So they're slowing the game down a little bit, which I guess goes back to that multi-generational thing. Like somebody that's not as sporty can jump in there and do this because there's a little bit of a delay because of the bounce, I guess.
Exactly. And it's a smaller court, and the net's a little bit lower. And there's this line that's 7 feet from the net, and it goes all the way across the court on both sides of the net, and they call that the kitchen line. So that's another little variation to pickleball.
Named after the cat.
Kitchen. Yeah. Right. Yeah, actually kitty that they turned in the kitchen, right? They didn't want to call it the kitty. So they called it the kitchen. And you're not allowed to step in the kitchen unless the ball bounces in your kitchen first. Okay. So if somebody hits the ball just barely over the net or within 7 feet of the net and the ball bounces, then you can step into the kitchen. But until that time comes, you're not allowed to step into the kitchen. And it, again, allows people to kind of stay further away from that so they just can't stand right at the net and just smash the ball and put it away. So there's a lot of specific rules to pickleball that makes it more fun, I think, for everybody. It makes it a little more of an even playing field.
Gotcha. Now you're trying to get it on like on the first bounce. If it bounces a second time, is it done?
Yeah, if you let the ball bounce twice on your side, then you lose the point.
Okay.
And after the third shot, which is, you know, that's what we call the third shot. That's the most strategic shot of the thing. You can then hit the ball right out of there. You don't have to let the ball bounce. So once the serving team lets it bounce back to them and hit it, at that point, you can hit it right out of the air.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so it's a little more of like just a slower start, but then you're moving faster. Because I was going to ask you, are you sweating when you're doing this?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I think it actually gets faster because in doubles, at least, a lot of times on a point, you have all four players standing right at the kitchen line. Okay, so everybody's about 7 feet from the net on their side of the net, and they're just bashing the ball back and forth to each other really quickly. It takes a lot of reflexes when that's going on. And in tennis, that never happens. In that case, it seems like it's a little fast-paced, more like ping pong. Or in some cases, like I've seen competitive badminton, and they're really ripping that birdie back and forth to each other really quickly. So I think it's a mixture. It's a pickle boat of different sports, like ping pong and badminton and tennis, all the different racket sports put together.
So is there like an actual like rule book for this? Like I'm sorry to sound like, I mean, you know, like, is this an actual sport? You know, do they have the pros? Do they have like a rule book for this? Like, you know, or is this just kind of like people are, you know, have been contributing to this?
There is an actual rule book, believe it or not. It did become a sport, like Uncle was saying, way back when, well, 1 year after my mom was born, back in 1965.
But the actual way back when.
The actual rule book was published in 1984. So it had a few years kind of out there, people learning about the sport until they actually sat down, put together, and published this rule book. And there was actually an executive director / president. His name was Sid Williams. And he was in that role from 1984 when the rule book was published until 1998. So goes back until then. And then now we do have a professional league. It's called the Professional Pickleball Association, better known as PPA. And they tour the states and put on different tournaments where professional players can play. And anyone can come out and watch. They host these giant tournaments. And it was actually in Vegas at the beginning of October. We hosted one here. Now they're, I think it was back in on the 6th of October. And so, you know, they hosted this giant tournament and now they're on their way. It is nationwide too. So you don't have to just be in Vegas or on the West Coast, but pickleball does span the 50 states now.
And Russ, just, I got to tell you, when Bridgie and I were down, I went down to Vegas to visit, and we were playing at the local courts, and some of those pros were practicing while we were there.
Yeah. Oh,
they are so good. Yeah. It was very, very humbling to watch them play and practice, because I'm going, okay, yeah, I'm picking it up. I'm getting better. And then I see them play and I'm going, oh, okay.
That's a 5-0 level.
It's just, it's so like, so what are the ages there? Are we looking like, you know, is it like baseball where people are kind of, you know, in the pros, they're done by the age of 30, or like what's the makeup there on the pro level?
Well, I think that, you know, when you're dealing with athletics, age does catch up to people. But I see pros of, you know, in their 20s all the way through their 30s. I think there's I don't know if there's any pros on the circuit that are in their 40s. I'm guessing there is. But I think I think the other cool thing about these tournaments is that a lot of times they'll have amateur tournaments as well. And the amateur tournaments, gotcha, you'll see all different age groups competing against each other, because they have kind of a ranking system or a rating system of your skill level. And it ranges from, I think, 2 to all the way up to 5 before you get to pros. So they'll have amateur tournaments where everybody in the 3.0 to 3.5 level will compete against each other. And then the 3.5s and the 4s will compete against. So they level it out.
It's just so amazing to me. Like the different things that I learn on this show, right? Like the random things that I learn on this show is so cool. And there's always something that kind of just blows my mind. The thing that blows my mind about this is just, there's this new sport. It's out there. And there's pros and there's rule books and there's people playing it everywhere. And there's courts popping up all across the country. And I had no idea before this podcast, like really what it was. You know, it's so weird. So it seems like it's just spreading like wildfire throughout the country, and everybody's doing it and everybody's playing it. Is that just because of the multi-generational thing, like, and the accessibility of it? Like, what's the cause of that? Like, why is it so hot right now?
I think because so many people can play it, you know, the rules themselves were developed so that it does kind of slow down the pace of the game, which makes it more inviting for any kind of level of athleticism. So anyone can pick up a paddle and start learning how to play. But I think the fun part is kind of the environment that it creates. You know, it gets pretty competitive when we're all up playing against each other and volleying it over the net. And overall, it's a really great workout. I always have my Apple Watch on me, and there's actually a pickleball exercise mode on it.
Nice.
And so for me, it's a lot more enticing to go out there and play a really fun game of pickleball for, you know, 90 minutes instead of going on a treadmill or going to the gym and lifting weights. And so it's a great cardiovascular workout for people. And the impact is a lot lower because you're playing with a paddle that's lighter and it's made to be lighter and easier to move around as opposed to a racket, you know, which may be heavier and a little bit more impacting on your arm itself. So, yeah, I think the rules, the equipment, everything is just kind of set up for success for people to have a good time and enjoy themselves.
You know, I'm a golfer and, you know, I got, you know, we played golf together and stuff. And the thing that I love about pickleball is the ramp up period of learning how to play pickleball is so much faster than a sport golf or, you're in the middle of that ramp up period.
Yeah. Oh, middle. Right? I don't know.
People can go years without getting decent at golf. Right. But in pickleball, you know, if you play a little bit for a couple of months, you're already, you know, very, you know, competent at playing pickleball, and you can have really a lot of fun playing pickleball. Just after playing for, you know, even a couple of weeks, I was just out at the courts yesterday. I was texting Bridgie about this, and Bridgie had come up to Northern California, was playing with me about a month ago. And we had met this couple, young couple in their 20s. And the woman had just started playing, Like, I think it might have been her first time at a pickleball court. I think when we met them and we playing with them and we were just having a great time laughing. And I happened to see her at a different pickleball court yesterday. And she improved so much in that 1 month. I mean, I immediately texted Bridget and said, "You remember that woman that we met? She's doing great.
She just beat me."
Right. And, you know, she's in her 20s. And then Bridgie and I competed against another couple in the reality show. It was a husband and wife team that were in their mid-70s, I believe. Yeah. And they were extremely competitive. I mean, they were very good. So nice. I think, you know, here's the other thing I noticed that's different about golf and other sports than pickleball. It's a lot of men and women doing it together. It's couples doing it. It's friends doing it. Whereas when I go out to a golf course, usually it's guys playing with guys. It's women playing with women. Once in a while, you'll see a mixture in a foursome. But most of the time, it's just guys hanging out with the guys and women hanging out with their friends and playing golf. There's not that, you know, husband and wives or in our case, uncle and niece, brothers and sisters, or just friends and men and women that are all just kind of bonding together over a sport. I just don't see that very often, except for maybe bowling. Like bowling leagues, I see mixture, right? But other sports, like football, you don't see a lot of genders playing football together.
Yeah, that's a great point, though, that you're making. And I did read an article that said that I think it's almost about split 50-50 on participants of men and women. And so I think it was 53% men, 47% women. And so it's right there, you know, you've got a very even divide of who's involved in this game. And then another point I was going to say was that because it's so popular right now, so many people are wanting to play that they're seeing a very, a big barrier in getting court space. And so now that there's many people involved in wanting to play, it's tougher for them to find a place to play just because it's so popular. So I think in these next coming years, you're definitely going to see a lot more facilities and courts popping up all over.
Is it always four people that play, or is it, can you play one-on-one, or is it two-on-two always?
You can play one-on-one. It's a much bigger workout, though,
sure. Totally, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, Uncle and I played one-on-one before here in Vegas. It was in the summertime, too. Super hot. Gotcha. After that, you know, we got maybe two games in and we're looking at each other like, are we going to do a third? Of course.
Yeah, was that the week you were all sore?
Yeah, we sweat.
Was the week you guys played one-on-one the week that you were all sore, Greg?
Yeah.
I have a feeling it might be.
It might have been the weekend that I went to the hospital to get an IV. But.
You know, last question here, the equipment. And I'm thinking, first of all, wiffle balls, you know, I've played plenty of, you know, wiffle ball games with my son, and those can hurt. Are we talking like pads here? Like, or you just need the paddle? Like, what do you need as far as equipment just to get started? Just the basics.
Well, you need two paddles, right? One for each person if you're going to play singles, and then the wiffle ball, right? I mean, or the pickleball.
Oh, nice.
That's nice. Really all you need. You know, obviously there's a lot of technology that goes into the different paddles. There's indoor balls, there's outdoor balls. Bridgie was just telling me now there's an outdoor ball that's specific to, you know, windy days. So there's definitely different equipment. And it's amazing since we started doing the Third Shot podcast, in kind of digging into all the technology that goes into just the paddles, it's amazing how much technology goes into it. It's a big business. There's so many different companies out there coming up with how do you make the paddle spin the ball more, or have more power, or have more touch. There's just a lot that goes into it. And then you know, the next question is, does it make a difference?
All right.
Yeah, right. And the answer is it could.
Well, you got to try it. See, and that's the thing. You've got this whole podcast. You're going to be able to try out different equipment, check it out, and, you know, do reviews of that equipment. You're going to talk to people that make the equipment. You've got a lot of stuff planned for this podcast. So tell me about the podcast.
Hopefully we'll get all these different manufacturers onto our show. They'll be able to show us their products, talk about their latest technology, and, you know, they're the experts on the paddles and what goes into making them. And so they'll be able to give everyone a description on what the paddles will be used for, kind of what the best paddle is for the type of game that you like to play, because it is kind of player specific and the type of player that you are, if you're a power hitter or more of a dinker. But not just manufacturers we'll have on the show, but we will also be interviewing people in the pickleball community and like the wonderful people that we met here in Vegas playing. And while we were doing the show, we'll have them on and talk about their experiences, because I think everyone's kind of got a unique experience on the way that they came into the game and how they came across it, what keeps them playing 6 to 7 times a week. So big stuff coming on our show. Yep. Third Shot.
Nice. Nice. That's awesome. And there's a link to that podcast in the description. Greg, you know what I should do too? It's probably link over to our DIY for Business, where oddly enough, we've been talking a lot about pickleball lately.
I mean, that's the passion that I have for the game. I can't help but talk about it. You know, anybody will listen to me. So thank you very much for allowing me to sneak it into the conversation on DIY for Business.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and thank you, both of you, for we're actually doing a Learning More segment within the Pickleball podcast. I don't know if this is a weekly thing, but, you know, we'll do that on occasion where I jump in and I ask a question about pickleball to continue learning more. And perhaps maybe I'll actually start the whole journey and try to do this. There's been things on this podcast that, you know, I learn about and then I'm like, okay, I'm going to go do this. This is the first one that I'm doing where I'm going to go help to produce an entire podcast around it. So it's pretty cool. Greg and Bridgie, thank you so much for joining me today and helping me learn more about pickleball.
Thanks for having us, Russ.
Thanks, Russ.
And thank you for listening and subscribing to Learning More. I encourage you. And thank you for rating this podcast and sharing it with your friends. I'm also going to remind you about that whole Podbean thing that I talked about at the beginning of the show. You know, this whole patron thing. We'll try it out. We'll see what happens. Would love to have you help to support this podcast. The goal, actually, that I did mention earlier is, guess what? If I actually hit this goal, I'm going to start producing more episodes. How crazy is that? Because, you know, producing this show, DIY for Business, and then also producing this podcast, this pickleball podcast, like, oh man, I'm gonna be busy. But you know what? We'll see how this thing works out. And if I go there, I'm willing to do it. Okay, so next week, we're going to talk about diet. We've actually got a couple of episodes on diet. And we've, you know, man, this other one that I've got set up, I am learning about something really cool called food deserts. And it's not really cool that this exists. It's really cool that we're learning about it because we can make a change and do something different. And I'm learning from two people that they have been doing such the greatest thing by bringing in farmers markets into small neighborhoods. So that's a podcast coming up in the next couple of weeks here too. So again, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. I'm Russ, and I look forward to learning more with you next time.